thank you for getting up this early in the morning on the second day. It's not as bad as the Friday morning 8:15 session after the party at Movie World, but it's not bad. So my name is Bill Chestnut. I'm a principal consultant for Mexia, I'm based out of Melbourne, but Mexia has offices in both Melbourne and Brisbane. I've been a integration BizTalk / Azure MVP since 2004. And what we're going to talk about today is the Azure API apps and Logic apps. How many people have actually had a chance to play with the Azure API apps, Logic apps? Just a few people. So this is a deep dive. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about what they are. Just in a kind of a broad overview, they are the way to do integration now in Azure. So it's some integration tools. And we'll see both the API apps. We'll build a custom API app. Then we'll also use a few of the existing ones that Microsoft supplies. And then we'll build a Logic app to use those. So the agenda is going to be, we'll talk a little bit about the Azure app services. So if you've used websites or mobile apps, that's basically all in the same piece. Then we'll talk about API apps. We'll talk about Logic apps. A few tips and tricks. There are a few things that you can stumble on as you're doing this, and I'll look at those. And then a little bit of a summary at the end. So we'll talk about the Azure app services. So basically what they've done is they've taken and put all of the pieces of the app services in one container. A little bit of a kind of a precursor to where we're at right now with the API apps and Logic apps. How we did integration in the past. So I started my computer career back in 83, spent 10 years on the mainframes. Then I got into the PCs and started doing integration work. Worked for a small company in the States that did parcel management systems. So the biggest thing we had to do with most of our customers was integrate. Most of that was, at that time, was either VB, C++, a little bit of SQL Server, things like that. Then in the early 2000s, they introduced BizTalk Server. So that was the way to do your integration with BizTalk Server. And then when they had the initial release of Azure, they came out with something called BizTalk Services that was really didn't have a lot to do with BizTalk. It was more some of the .NET pieces. They renamed it after a while to .NET Services. And then they actually, about 2 years, a little bit more than that, they released the BizTalk Services, which was the PaaS offering for BizTalk in Azure. And since then, they've actually opted not to extend the BizTalk Services because BizTalk Services was kind of a silo of integration in Azure. And the whole idea behind the Azure App Services, it gives us integration across all of the different pieces of Azure. So it gives us a broader reach for integration across all of the Azure. So the other thing, what we're going to see that's driving all of this is hybrid integration. So how many people have a mix of locations of their users? So a lot of people, and the BYOD device and things like that just make that even more. How many people have the mix of the location of their services? So they're using stuff in the cloud, they're using stuff on premises, things like that. So that's what's driving a lot of this, and also our data. Now with the IoT push and things like that, we're going to have a lot more data that goes automatically up to the cloud, and we need to be able to leverage that. But we still have a lot of systems we're going to need to leverage on premises, so that we have we need that the location of data is going to dictate more where our components run, and also the location of computer resources. So how many people inside of their enterprise can provision a virtual virtual machine provisioned in 15 minutes? Yeah, but your enterprise is in the cloud already, Mitch. So, but typically, if you're on premises and you go through your IT department to get a virtual machine provisioned, it's going to take you significantly longer than the 15 minutes it might take you to do it in Azure. So that location of computer resources is going to make a big difference. So what they've done is they've lumped those four services we see there, the web apps, which was the older websites, the mobile apps, API apps, and logic apps are all now part of the app services. So basically, and we'll see a little bit later on, we create an app services plan, which we put all of those in, and it basically controls what resources we're allocating to those components that we want to use. So first thing we're going to do is look at API apps. Now, API apps aren't real special. They've given them a special name, but basically they're a web API with some special markup. When you deploy it, it does do some stuff in the background around building a gateway service inside of your app service plan, and that controls some of the configuration settings, and it also controls the security going in and out. So it's web API based, leverages those containers. So what's the nice thing about the website container if you've already used the websites? How many people have connected from Visual Studio on their laptop and remotely debugged a website? That's a big thing. And for us poor BizTalk developers that have been toiling with BizTalk for over 10 years, being able to do an F5 debug is a magic, because typically it's set a little bit of stuff that you can do inside of the BizTalk management console, but never had that F5 debug experience. Also, we're looking at reusable components. So if I was going to do something previously with a lot of the integration tools, I might have to build a different version of an API for BizTalk to use and one that maybe my website's using. So now we're having all of those sitting in the same container. We can leverage those. And Microsoft's supplying a fair few of those with their adapters and some of the shapes they're doing. So they've carried forward a lot of the BizTalk components. So if you've done anything with EDI, there's EDI components that will translate the flat file EDI message into an XML message that you can process inside of the Logic app. They've also done things like AS2, so that it'll do all that encryption and digitally signing, things like that. They've also got an interesting set that are the hybrid connectors, and that's one of the things we'll look at in my demo, is how we can use the service bus relay to send a file from the cloud to on-premises without opening inbound firewall holes. So basically, it uses the service bus relay, connects to the adapter running as an API app in your app service plan, and then is able to drop a file on premises, and you can then consume it in whatever application you want to do it in there. So there's a few set of those. They've got a SQL one, but allows us to do that. And again, they're looking, as they get ready closer to release with API apps and logic apps, they're looking for a lot more community, and there's going to be a marketplace, things like that. So we'll have a marketplace that Microsoft will put their API apps and logic apps into, some vendors. So if you've got a product and you want people to be able to talk to that product, you could put an API app up there in the marketplace that makes them easier to do that. Microsoft's already supplied one for like Salesforce, but if you have another system that Microsoft hasn't supplied one for, you could put that in the marketplace to make it easier for people to build an integration into your product. There's gonna be community. I'm part of the MVP community, and there's already several of us that have put together some API apps that we want to actually push out to the marketplace, just as a community marketplace. And I think the big one is going to be, if you're working in your enterprise, you might have a whole group of developers that need to do this. You're going to be able to have an enterprise marketplace that basically just your developers can see. So a nice common place for your developers to use that. Also, right now, the Logic Apps group in Microsoft is putting their samples and things like that up on GitHub. And it's Logic App IO on GitHub. And they've got a nice little button you can click on that actually runs a PowerShell in the background, and it will deploy their API app into your app service plan. So it makes it nice and easy to push those in there. And the other way you can do with the API apps is you can build your own. And that's one of the things I'm going to demo in a minute, is building my own. So we're going to have a demo on creating an API app. I want to set the stage a little bit. Is the demo I'm going to do from end to end is how many people have used Visual Studio Online? How many people have had a situation? And the situation I'm trying to solve with this is we've got some external people developing code for us, and they need to drop that code or an executable and installable into our private network inside of our enterprise. So what I've done is you create a work item in Visual Studio Online, you attach your file as an attachment to that work item. When you save that work item, you save it as committed. That uses the service hooks inside of VSO to send a message to Service Bus. The API, Service Bus API connector will pick up that message, run my Logic app. The Logic app will look at the status of the work item. If it's committed, it will send an email off to someone in the organization for them to approve that work item. Once they go back into Visual Studio Online, approve the work item, it will then send another message to the Service Bus. The API app, Logic app, will pick that up. It will then, if that is approved, it will then download the attachment and send it on premises via the file connector. So it was a really good way to demo. It's the Service Bus, or the message that gets put on Service Bus from the Visual Studio Online is a JSON. So I do a bit of work on the JSON file, look at that, then I open a connection back to my Visual Studio Online, download the demo. So the first piece I'm going to be building is the API app that takes in the Service Bus message, extracts where the attachment's at, connects off to Visual Studio Online, brings back the attachment, Base64 encodes attachment, and passes that to the next API app in my Logic app. So let me switch over the... So what we want to do first is we'll go into the Visual Studio, and actually I need to, let me just close the solution. So what we'll do is we'll do a file, new project. And what we do is we start with a project that is a ASP.web application. And you'll see that they actually have, I'm just going to grab the name of it so I don't have to type it. Now I'm going to call mine BizTalk Build VSO Work Item Updated. So that's my API app that I'm going to publish out. And basically, we pick ASP.NET Web Application and we say OK. And then we notice we've got a Azure API app preview. So we pick that, and that has all of the proper Swagger markup and everything to make it an API app. So one of the things I'm going to do is I thought that pretty much the last thing you're going to want to watch me do is type a bunch of code into here. So I decided the easiest way I could do some of that would be to use some NuGet packages. There are a couple I need to start with. So what I'll do is I'll go in here and manage my NuGet packages. And one of the things, I've got a private NuGet store, so it insists on prompting me for a password every time. So the first thing I need to do is I need to update the JSON. .NET component in here so that I have the right, the up-to-date version of the JSON, as long as the network. Okay, so go over here and that's got to the, should show that up as being installed. So I'll do an upgrade on that. Now the other thing is that one of the other integration MVPs has put up a set of tools that make the it a little bit easier to do the markup for your API apps. So I'll go ahead and I'm going to install that. And he used a fairly good name. It's called T-Rex. So as soon as this installs, I will go out here and find his T-Rex. So I'll install that. Now the things I need for my API app, I'm going to need my inputs and my outputs. So go ahead and get that installed. And then I've got some a couple of NuGet packages that install my ins and outs. And basically that's what I did to take the JSON into a class. There's a couple of websites out on the internet where you can post in your JSON and it'll create a .NET class for you. But for whatever reason, the JSON file that Visual Studio Online creates has got system.stuff in it. So you have to go fix some of the names, otherwise the class gets a little annoyed with you at that. So let me go into my Distalk build. So my work item updated package I'll install. And what we'll see now is we've got a couple of models. And the other thing we need to do is we'll get rid of the controller that it automatically created. And then what I'll do is I'll go to my private NuGet store. And I want to do my install my controller. So now if we open up the controller, I'll just quickly go through this. So basically what we've got is an API controller. It's got a get method, and I take my inputs and my outputs. And what I'm doing is in the JSON file that comes in from Visual Studio Online, there's a few things I have to fix up because the class names wouldn't work with that. So there was a system and a couple of things like that in there. Then basically what I do is I look at the JSON. If the JSON is if it's a committed, I'll send output an email body, and if it's approved, then I will actually download the file from Visual Studio Online and send that down. So what I need to do now is I'll do a build, and if I've included all my NuGet packages correctly, I should get a build. So the build succeeded. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a publish. So very much similar to what we would do with a website, web app, do a publish. And so basically I want to publish it as the Azure API app preview. What I've done to speed it up a little bit, the first time you create this, it sometimes takes a while. So what I've done is I've gone into the Azure portal and just created a empty API app. And what I'm going to do is I'll just go in here and I'll select that work item updated. It's an empty API app. And then I'll go OK. It's downloading my publishing settings. And basically I'm going to use web deploy. And the only other thing I need to do is because I want to do some debugging later on, I need to set it from release to debug so that I can actually attach the debugger to it. So let's go next, and then we'll do a publish. And that's going off and doing the publish. That'll put my API up. Not a lot I can do with it at the moment. So basically I need to build my logic app, but we're gonna go back to the slides real quick. Once I'm happy that it's updated and created my API app up there. Any questions at the moment? Well, I'm waiting for this to happen. Okay. Now, that looks like a problem, but basically I've got my API app set to a internal because I'm going to be using it inside of my logic app, and it tries to get to it from the outside and can't. So that's why I get that error. I'll go ahead and close that. So we're all ready to go there. Let me swap back to the slides. So now what we're going to do is talk about the logic app. And what we'll see in there is how we put a series of API apps together. So So a logic app is basically a collection of APIs. How many people have done things with like Windows workflow and things like that? A few people. So this is a workflow. The designer is a little bit different than what we've seen in previous designers. It's kind of it's a left to right designer. They are tossing some ideas up around what they're going to do with this, whether they're going to change the way the designer looks and things like that. But it is a workflow. And we've got some decide shapes and things like that in, or decisions that we can make between it. And I'm going to show that. So if it comes in as a committed, it'll go through a path where it sends a email. If it's a approved, it'll go through a path where it downloads that file. So the difference between what we have in existing technology is that with BizTalk and workflow, we build special workflow components or we put code in our BizTalk. These basically are API apps. They're very, very close to our existing web APIs. So we can reuse those. We might have somebody using API management calling that API directly, or we might have our logic app taking advantage of already existing API app that's out, web app that's out there. We have some different models. We have a push, so I can push a message into my logic app. I can also do a pull, so I can tell the logic app to run every 5 minutes and go out and pull a file off of an FTP site or call another website to see if there's any data. We also have repeating, so basically you can have it repeat. And we all set it up manually. I only want to run this manually. And why would you do something manually? Well, inside of your web application maybe, you get a file ready and you want to run something. And what you can do is there is a set of APIs around the logic apps where you can call that from your web app to fire your particular logic app. So you might want to do it manually. Or you can call a logic app from another logic app. And that second logic app would be set manual, and you only need to do it in certain cases. So that's why. The debugging, that's the big thing, is that I can do the debugging through Visual Studio, and that's what one of the things that we're going to look at is that debugging experience, and also extensibility, because basically I'm going to have a set of API apps that Microsoft supplies and vendors supply, and then I'm going to have the ones that I can build, just like I built that one. So let's go in and have a look at creating a logic app. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go in here to the portal. So right now I'm just showing you the API apps that I have in my subscription at the moment. So I've got my work item updated. I've got a file connector. I've got a file connector bad. I want to show you a little bit later on. I want to show you how to debug some of the issues around the file connector. Then I have an Office 365 connector. That's where I'm going to send my email. Through the Office 365 connector. And then I've got my service bus connection. So this is where it'll receive the message from the service bus. Now, when you create each one of these API apps, they sometimes do ask for configuration. So the service bus one asks for the connection string to the service bus and the queue or topic that you're going to, and or subscription that you're going to pull from. So what I'm going to do first is I'm going to go down here to our logic app. And basically what we have here is I don't have any logic apps, so I can do an add. And I just need to go. Now, I had some issues previously with some demos around this, is that for some reason they weren't cleaning up everything quite the way they were supposed to. And I'd done a demo run through of it, and then I put the same name in there, and when I hit create, it was done. The artifacts were still out there. I think that's part of the fact that it's in preview. But basically, we give it a name, we give it an app service plan. The particular app service plan has a pricing tier. One little trick, if you're playing with API apps, the app service plans can be a little bit expensive, so the standard edition is about $50 or $60 a month. And if you're not doing a lot of stuff in the month and you're using your MSDN money, you're going to run out of money a little bit quicker. So what I found is you can actually go into your app service plan and you can click on it and take it from standard back down to free. It won't let stuff run that you're building, but it won't consume that money in your subscription. So it's a little bit easier way. There's no real way to turn it off, but you can take it back to the free, and that gives you saves you a little bit of money for the time. Then we get our resource group, the subscription we're using, the location we want to have it in. And you could go right now and go ahead and create the Logic app in this trigger, but I tend to go in and go ahead and let the Logic app create, and then go in and modify the Logic app. So it'll take just a second if the demo gods are playing. So, yep, there's our Logic app. I can click on that now. We do have a enable disable on that. So if you get it running and you don't want it to run while you're doing something, you can disable it. Then we go over here to our triggers and actions. The triggers and actions then come in here so that we can start designing. And we've got, they've got some templates that they're going to make available. So if you've got particular type of piece of Logic app that you want to create, there are some templates out there for you. We're just going to create one from scratch. So what we have over here on the right side, we'll see all of the API apps that are in our resource group. So the first one we want is our Service Bus Connector. And basically that has one option for us, and that is a message available. And we can set our polling frequency. So it actually, under the covers, does do a kind of a poll to the gateway that it got created. I'm going to kick that down to 1 minute, otherwise we'd have to wait a long time in between messages we sent. Then we basically click the green check, and that sets that particular app. Then what we're going to do is we'll add our work item updated Logic app, our API app. And again, it's got one method. So it's got a lot of parameters, though. So you'll see that we've got a list of parameters there. For the content, what we want is we'll see that we have the content from our message available. So it makes those things available. Our content, our transferring coding, again, is our transferring coding from that. Now, the attachment status is that when it's approved, I want to download it. And when it's committed, I want to send an email. And then what I need to do is, because I didn't want configuration inside of my API app or anything like that, I've asked for that configuration when we do it. So I need to go out here, and I'm going to grab my username for my VSO user, and then the token for my VSO. Ah, I would have found that in a minute. Okay, and then you scroll down here and click that. So that's basically set up all the parameters that will be coming into my API app. Then what I'll need to do is, when that finishes, so then what I'll do is I'll add my Office 365 connector. And this one's asking me to authorize, so it needs me to log on with the credentials that have access to Office 365. So that's going to pop a window up. And I'm just using my BizTalk Bill Office 365 subscription. So that's now authorized it, and then we have several things we can do. I want to send an email. And I'll send it to bill@chestnut.net. Subject is work. Item updated. And then the body is out of our work item updated. There's an email body. At the moment, all I'm doing is sending the JSON file, but in your API app, you could fancy format that JSON to be a nice email body that tells them what to do, puts a link in there for them to go to the work item and update it. That's enough to do the Logic app, but what I want to do now is I still want to add the file connector. And again, I have a upload file, so I'll do an upload file on the file connector. And the left to right designer is a little bit weird for most workflow stuff, so I think they're going to make some changes around exactly how that works. And there are a couple of scrolling windows in there that get a little bit annoying. So the file path basically is where we want to put the file. So it could be something, we could put the file path. Let me just grab some pieces in there. That's the API. Let me just. So just got a. And what I did is I decided to, inside of my API app, I've created the name. So actually, I can just go here, and there should be a. I just got to look at the right one. It's a little bit, some of the, so that's the attachment file name that I create. So what I did is I took the work item, the attachment to the work item, and I just put a GUID in front of it so that I can do it many times and not get a duplicate file. The content then is my attachment body. And again, the editor's not as good as it could be. There's the attachment. And then the transfer encoding type, I'm using Base64. So out of my API app is coming Base64. And now I've got it all set up. But right now, if I send a message in from the service bus, what we would see is we would see both an email and the attachment get downloaded because we haven't told the Logic app to run one in one case and one in the other. So what we can do is we go back up here and we can say, add a condition to this Logic app. And then basically I've got a condition out here in our Logic app to where the output type equals email. So I go back in and I can paste that condition. There is a workflow language they have created. So basically, you'll notice it looks a little bit funny. There's the @ equal and then the body. So they've created a workflow language, and there's links off of this page to the language reference, so if you need to do that. And they're updating that. Recently, they added a split on language construct that if you get a message in, then you need to split it up into multiple messages, so debatching. You can do that inside of the Logic app. So now I'm going to go into my file connector, and I'm going to add a condition also to it. And I'm going to grab the condition, and that's going to be where the output type is attachment. And then I'll save that. Now, all of the designer is actually, and you'll notice that what it did just then is that it pulled my file connector down below the email because it knows it's going to be doing one or the other of those. But again, that left to right designer makes it a little bit funky for that. So basically, I'll go ahead and save that. Then what we can do is we can actually go in here and look at a code view. And so this is the JSON file that describes that Logic app. And see, there's our trigger. The trigger is the integration service bus connector. And then you got your parameters. Then we got our work item updated. We've got our Office 365 connector and the file connector. At the moment, some of the new items they're adding to the language aren't supported by the designer, so you do have to go into the code view. and be able to do that. So that's all I really need to do in there now, is now I can close that window since I've saved it. Go back into our Logic app. And what we'll see down here is I already I saved a message actually in the work item a little while ago. And that was what came out. But what we'll do is we'll go into our VSO Online. We'll open up our work item. And we'll go here and we'll give it a status of approved. Over here is our attachment. It's just a very simple zip file that I've put in as attachment. I'll do a save and close. We'll go back to the portal. And we can also go down here. There's a trigger history. So we've told that trigger to fire every minute. So we'll see that there's one that's fired every minute. And when it had the first message, it fired, went ahead and succeeded. Otherwise, it just skipped. So if you're having trouble getting it to fire and getting to expect what's happening, you can actually go in there in the trigger history. So we can go back into there. It'll take a few seconds for that to run. Any questions while we're waiting for that to run? Yeah, so we'll look at a little bit of that. Basically, it's around when something happens wrong, how do you determine what's happening? I've got two different examples I'll show you in some of the debugging. One is when the connector, just the configuration is wrong. So I've got a file connector, and I screwed up the service bus connection string in it, so it just doesn't act like it's there. The other one is that we'll see the debugging. The inputs and outputs of each step are available to us. So we'll look at that. So let's go back up here and see if we've got a firing of that. So we do. And we can click on that. And we'll see that we had two steps that were successful and one step that was skipped. So basically, the work item update ran. The file connector succeeded, but the Office 365 connector was skipped because what I did is instead of making it committed, I made it approved. I should have made it committed, but I can go back in there and I can change that one again so that we can see the email come out. So I'll make that instead of approved, I can make that committed. Save and close. Go back into our API App Logic app. They're also working on a lot more debugging information and things like that. They've got some samples where they're pushing stuff to some of the event hub to be able to track what's happening in the Logic app a lot better. At the moment, it's another shape they've added to the Logic app, but they're talking about making that as a thing where you part of the Logic app configuration is what information I want to send and when I want to send it to that hub. So we'll have to wait for that to come back in a second. So, and we can again go down here and see our trigger history. So that trigger fired. So, and the only thing we'll have to wait for is this screen to update. So there it is. We can click on that. And we'll see this time we fired the Office 365 connector. And if we go out here to the mail, there's my work item updated email message. The JSON file is pretty ugly, but it was just an easy demo of I've just added that JSON file to the email body. So let's hop back to the slides. So one of the things I did show you when we were going in to create the Logic app is there was a set of templates. So you can have predefined flows with your templates. So if a lot of people inside of your organization or need to do a particular type of integration, you can define a template for them and it makes it easier because it will add the API apps they need, and they just need to do the configuration of where it's coming from, where it's going to, things like that. So that gives you a extended level of reuse. So if you've got that, so because I know a lot of times when we build BizTalk projects, almost every one of the orchestrations is very similar because we're just using a different message. So it could be a different service bus, queue, topic, subscription. And again, these templates are going to be available through the marketplace. So now what we're going to do is do a little bit more around the debugging. And this is the thing, like you run into issues with the fact that some of the stuff is not real visible. They've heard that loud and clear from a lot of us. So they're trying to make it a little bit better. So let me swap back to the machine. So the first piece of debugging that we can look at is that inside of our Logic app, down here we have the trigger that fired, but we also have the output link. So we actually can click on that, and that will actually show us everything that came out of that trigger. So there's the body, there's my JSON content, and basically all of the service bus properties. So if you're actually wanting to use a service bus property from there, you can actually get access to those service bus properties. Then what we can do is we can go in here and click on one of our API apps. And this time what we do is we get both the input links and the output links. So our input link will be the content plus the values that we've specified. So there's our attachment status, email status, and our VSO user and our token. And then we can go down here and look at the output. In this particular run, the status came out as committed, and it brought an email body out with an output type of email that I could key on to run my additional. I could have done it by status. I thought it was just easier to show that you could output those types because you may want to send it to different locations and things like that. And again, then we can go in here and click on our Office 365 connector. We can see its input links, which is basically what we put out of the other one, and then our output. Not much output coming back from that Office 365 connector. If we go to the other run where we actually ran the file connector, and click on the file connector, look at its output links. We'll see that it does come back with where it created the file name, and things like that. So when you set up the file connector, you give it a root folder on your system, and then you can add folders to that as you deliver files. So I could have put /in/the file name or /out/the file name and built that. That way I can use one file connector to both send a dozen different files on premises, and I also can use the file connector to pull files from on premises, so I don't have to have a dozen different file connectors to do that work. So that's pretty much the debugging. The other thing I will show you is if we go back here to the API apps, and if we look at the file connector, I'll bring up the one that's running good, and we'll see inside of the file connector we get a little dialogue here that's coming up that basically says the state of the file connector, whether it's connected or not. And sometimes it takes a while for that to come up. The problem I had, I configured a file connector, and the dialogue never went off the three little dots flashing. So it's like, okay, what's wrong? I can't get into it to do anything. So what's wrong with it? So that one's just misbehaving while I'm demoing. But I'll go into the file connector that I've got set up that I know is broken. Oh, that's good. See if that gets it back. Oh, so now it's connected. So if I go to the bad file connector, it actually never comes back. Because what I did is that I messed up the connection string to Service Bus, so it can't go out and find the other endpoint. Okay, that's not cooperating. Let's see if that one comes back. I can show you the same thing in this one. So basically what we need to do is there is a host that gets created behind that file connector, the way they've done the API apps. And you can go into that host, and then you can go into the settings of that host. And this is where you see your web, like if you had a website and you had an app config in a website, inside of this host that's hosting the file connector is where all of your settings are. So you can go to your application settings, and then this is where you can see the service bus connection string. So I had one time where I created a file connector and it looked like it created perfectly. I put the right connection string in and everything. When I tried to run it, it basically had a blank connection string. It didn't save it. I did have some problems if you were using Chrome. For some reason, it was just acting up with Chrome a little bit. So basically, this just gives us all of our connection strings, so and any configuration that we have in there. It'll refresh in a second. Let's hop back to the slides. But that's basically the one piece you might need to look at when you're debugging, is go into there and make sure all that stuff is there and correct. So the next thing we'll talk about is a little bit of the tips and tricks. So some of the stuff that may help you when you're doing these API apps and logic apps. We have some PowerShell commands that we can look at. So all of the API apps and logic apps, there is a project in Visual Studio. At the moment, there's not a designer. So you can build it in JSON, if you like to code in JSON, and that's for Mitch. That was his biggest complaint about BizTalk, is you couldn't just drop into code and build the workflow. And then also, it does give you a deployment script. So let's go have a look at the PowerShell. So if we go back into, let me switch machines. I've got a PowerShell window up that I've got my subscription on. And what you can do is you can go in here and I'll grab all of the resources in the resource group. So those are all the different ones. There's my Office 365 connector. There's the host that sits behind it. There's the Service Bus connector, there's the work item updated logic app. So all of those different things are in there. If I go in here and update my name of my work item update and do grab that, what I can do is I can paste that in there and go out to a location. Let's see where it users. Desktop. Now go into the user directory. And basically, we should have a file from today, which is there. And then if we open that with Visual Studio Code, it's got some stuff at the top of it, but then at the bottom down here is where we had the same stuff we saw in our code view of it. So basically we can pull it out and turn it into the JSON file. What I've asked for them is the ability to actually take it and put it into the proper way that I need to deploy it from dev, test, UAT. So we'll see as they get closer to releasing it how they're doing with that. But basically that's the JSON file that created that. And so we've got information about our subscription stuff, so you could go in there and change that if you needed to be your dev test UAT subscriptions and things like that. So let's hop back to the slides. The other way we can do manage our API apps and logic apps is through the Azure portal. So we can look at the service plans, manage the service plans. We can look at the resource groups, so to see what's in that particular resource group. And then we can look at which API apps and logic apps that we have deployed. So if we go back to the Azure portal, so we can go here and look at our app service plans. Everybody, the internet slowed down, but that's nothing unusual. So I've got two app service plans. I can click on the one app service plan. And basically, it will show me what the plan is. So when you scroll down here, when those refresh, you'll see that it's on a standard. And then I can click on that, and I can go to the different plans. I can go all the way up to, I think it's a 4-core premium. So depending on how much I need to scale up, I can do that. I'm not going to wait for that to refresh. Let's go back over here and look at the API apps. So this will show us our API apps. We saw that earlier. And then now, well, it'll also show us our logic app. And then if we go and look at our resource groups, and it gets fairly prolific building resource groups, even though you don't, sometimes it builds them like for virtual machines and things like that. So there'll be a few resource groups in there. But the internet's not cooperating. It was surprising. I did this talk about 3 weeks ago in Cincinnati, Ohio, running off my virtual machine in Melbourne, and it was actually pretty good. So I was very impressed with that. Let's not wait for that to come back. So basically, we've looked at the Azure portal. So basically, in summary, we've got API apps that basically will be doing the work. We can use those from multiple logic apps. We've got our logic apps that basically take the different API apps and basically coordinate them. So we can do our conditional, things like that. We can basically have, so I use the Office 365 connector. There's a SMTP connector. There's a SendGrid connector that they've actually, the API apps group have created and put out on their GitHub site. So you can use that. So if you're interested in this, where to start is basically just go out. If you've got an MSDN subscription, you've got money to spend every month, you can go out and spin up a app service plan, create some, use just the default API apps. So like there's a couple of really good demos out there where it goes out and does a query against Twitter and then can send those queries. So you can put the query in there. So if somebody mentions you on Twitter, it can send you a text message, things like that for monitoring different things. So, and what's next is that the API apps, logic apps is still in preview. There will be a refresh, I think, around the January timeframe. But we actually, Mexia has actually got a couple of customers that's running on the preview. So if you've got something that's very compelling to do in the API apps and logic apps, talk to Microsoft and see if they can, they'll support you in the running off of the preview bits. So that's pretty much what I wanted to cover today. Thank you very much. There's my contact details if anybody would like to discuss anything about the API apps and logic apps. I'm going to go from here into the exhibition center and back where the speaker area is at. So if anybody wants to chat about that, because I know we've got a fairly close cutover and Mitch is next, and he's got, as you can see on the stage here a little bit, he's got a bunch of IoT kit that he's already set up. So thank you very much. Oh, and don't forget to fill out your evaluations. They're doing daily prizes for the evaluations.